So Gainer, I've got another half an hour ish. Gainer, I can't remember what we were going to talk about. I know there was something. Can you help me?
Yeah, I think so. It was about emotions, wasn't it? And it started off because I was starting to, because I've been doing the Miracle Journal, been starting to see like lots more positives and, you know, and even to a point where perceived emotions that are negative are starting to see the positives in them. So like frustration and anger, you know, that kind of desire to kind of I guess move things forward or change something, you know, because something's not quite working out, or and like what was the other one? Fear, because you know, going back to like in the primal days, you know, that's there to keep us safe, and you know, even seeing that in a positive way. But then I was struggling with grief because I couldn't understand. Grief and how that could be positive, because then that kind of, so I asked about that, and you kind of said how it kind of transcended, helped you transcend separation, and that you could really lose something. And then you said something like
it's got gone. Yeah. should we get our phones out and look back at what we said?
Conversation. Something about all emotions are really a sign that we've gone back to believe that we're believing. I think this is, I don't know, that we're believing again in we haven't already got what we want or something, or we're not already. I don't know. Does that sound familiar?
Vaguely.
There's some sort, you made a comment, and it was to do, and I thought, oh, I don't know, I'm quite sure what you mean by that. But something about all emotions, there's a lot of messages.
Yeah, no, don't worry, take your time. I'm trying to remember. I remember writing something, but I can't tell you now.
To do with a lot of emotions, because. And then, because I was thinking, oh, because I said as well that I'm getting caught up in separation again, because I'm reviewing the positives from like a separation point of view, in that based on a body mind.
The positive emotion, though, of any kind, it is indicating a lack of separation thinking. Negative emotion, to the extent and the degree of it and the intensity of it, is showing us how much we've gone back into separation.
Yeah, I think it might have been to do with that.
I mean, grief in itself is the essence of separation, isn't it? I've lost something or someone and I can't get them back. That's like separation in its fullest manifestation, if you will.
Yeah, definitely. And because... I'm still struggling to see how grief, where I suppose, yeah, like you say, if you're viewing it, if grief could be, it's coming up because you're still believing in that loss, aren't you? That loss of losing.
If you, let's say you watch 4 or 5 clouds go across the sky and they're all different shapes.
Yeah.
You don't grieve the loss of that shape, do you? When the cloud's gone, it's gone. It's just, okay, that was nice while it was here. I appreciated it, and it was beautiful. But the very next one is going to be different. And so there's no sense of loss in that. A particular shape has disappeared, hasn't it? The cloud will never be a cloud like that one again. But we don't have the sense that we've lost something in that. It's like every time a wave disappears on the ocean, you know, it crests and then goes, we don't grieve that. But with human beings, we grieve. We really think that something's gone and lost when a human body goes, because there's a belief in otherness at the bottom of that. There's something or someone other than me, and now they've died and I've lost them. And that's the essence of grief, isn't it? I can't ever get them back.
Yeah.
So it's like looking at the clouds and really believing that a cloud is gone, when really it's just it's invisible water vapor. So for a moment it was visible, and now it's invisible again. Nothing has actually occurred in that, has it, really? For a while, what was already there became visible, and then it became invisible again. And that's happening with the human body, and we're calling that birth, life, and death. So this idea is like so very pervasive in the human conditioning, that only something extraordinarily painful, the more accepted an idea is in humanity as a whole, the more painful it has to be before we'll begin to transcend that. And here is the one thing that everybody believes, that we're born, we live a certain amount of time, and then we die. And grief serves us to, it's just so, we might feel we're grieving because we've lost someone that we love, but really we're grieving because of this idea of otherness. When really life, individuality could be a celebration of a uniqueness. Look at that beautiful cloud. And that one's gone, but this one, the next one will be even better. Look at this wave that's cresting. There'll never be another one like it. But there's no sense that the ocean's gone when the wave's gone. It's still completely there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Just the way it looks has changed. And that grief helps us to look beyond that.
Yeah, I can definitely see that there's still some attachment to.
Like frustration, if you look at frustration, like today it came up for me, the sense of time is taking too long.
Yeah.
It helped me transcend where I was still believing a little bit in time and process. And anger will show us that we're believing in otherness because there's something else outside of me that I can't get.
Right.
Or something that I need that I can't have, or something I need to get rid of that I can't. You know, it's they're all varying degrees of otherness and separation. And the worse the emotion feels, the more strongly we're holding on to that separation. But then the bigger the spiritual jump as we begin to transcend that idea.
I guess if the mind body does feel something like anger, and they can see that, from a non-dualistic point of view, that there's a belief there in separateness, but can at the same time, it then kind of the body then might decide to, you know, just do something as a result of kind of from that, if you see what I mean. I can't describe it.
Yeah. Actions come out of that, don't they?
Yeah. Which might be to, I guess, make that situation a little bit more.
Yeah, and eventually the amount of negative emotion you're feeling in any moment is really only showing us how much we're resisting the change that is already occurring, already trying to manifest. You know, so I'm feeling just a little irritated or frustrated. Something's already in manifestational change. My desire is coming to fruition, but I am resisting it to some degree. If I am really feeling some heavy shame or grief or apathy, then I'm really resisting what's trying to happen. Like, so much so that I've kind of squashed the manifestation. I won't let it move, which takes a tremendous amount of it, of life force energy to do that.
And that does that kind of come into the whole point of like loving them emotions a bit more? They're just there to be there because that, you know, for their own uniqueness in it from that point of view, and to be allowed. And
yeah, and the more I love it and accept it, we've worked on this a lot at retreats, we've been doing it in the statements in the group, just accepting that I feel that way, willingness to feel it, That willingness is an open energy field. We could call it love as well, in which the vibration can move, because the slower, the worse the emotion feels, the slower the vibration of that emotion. So bliss is like, you know, really up here, really fast, and apathy is just kind of really sort of slow and heavy and plodding along. And so we have to be willing to feel it, to let it move. It might take longer to pass through the irritation, but it will pass through eventually. So as we're doing statements and stuff like that, we're more open to feel it. It can shift quicker because we don't have any ideas. You can't be doing statement process work and be thinking about or resisting the actual thing that's going on in a statement process. Is a really clever way of accepting what is in this moment. So usually we're just, the only thing we're ever resisting is how we think and feel about something. So we're doing statement process work. We're finally not resisting what's going on inside, because we have to look and see how it makes us feel, that statement. We're checking in to see how it works. And whatever energy field can lift in that can begin to change. Sorry, I went off on another tangent there, I think.
No, it's all right. I found the message.
Okay, good.
I think you said, you probably answered it actually, to be fair. But I'll read it anyway.
Yeah.
You could say that, this is what you wrote, you could say that for the self, a negative emotion or negative situation experience is always useful. And it's a sign that the focus has gone to what we don't want rather than what we do want.
Yeah. So if you're feeling frustration, let's say your frustration is kind of saying that what I want isn't coming fast enough, right? Something like that, isn't it? I want it, but it's happening, but not fast enough, or there's something in the way of this. Not something that's going to block it completely, but something slowing it down for that. So it's showing me that kind of feeling that I'm focused on. No manifestation is ever a finite thing. So there's no start and end point where I can look at manifestation and go, that's how I want it to be. Meaning, let's take an example. You want to get a better job. Let's have a concrete example. Mine says, the manifestation hasn't happened until I'm sitting at my interview and they're shaking my hand and saying, congratulations, you've got the job. Right? Mine says that's the evidence that the manifestation has happened. Oh. But in reality, and before that point, it hasn't happened at all, mine says. Can you see that? This is the point where the manifestation has occurred and I've got what I want. But before that, there's job interviews, there's job applications, there's even the idea, the desire for a better job, which is the manifestation already unfolding. We tend to judge manifestation as when the physical thing happens. So when the baby's born, I can see it. That's when the manifestation has occurred. But for 9 months before that, it's developing in the womb, and then it's sperm and an egg before that, and then it's an idea. You know, so you get the sense. If we keep seeing manifestation, it's always moving. It's never like, okay, I want this thing to happen in my life. Okay, here it is. It's constantly changing. So you get that new job, and then you get even better at that new job, and then you get promoted, and then you move to a different company and do something even more amazing. And there isn't such a thing as a single manifestation. It's always an ever molding, changing thing. Right. So frustration is showing us that I'm waiting for some arbitrary point on the timeline and say that's when it's happened. But in reality right now, it's coming into fruition. So this morning when I was frustrated, it's because I was looking for, they're putting some things into place to help Bella and school. And I'm looking for that thing to happen physically before I say she's got what she needs. So I was frustrated because that hasn't shown up in physical form yet. But I've had conversations with them about it. We've discussed ideas about it. And they're having a meeting about it tomorrow. You know, so it's happening. It's in the process of. The frustration is going, I'll only recognize it as a manifestation when this thing shows up. Very clear, physical kind of thing.
You're not believing in like a process though, like, because then you're saying that it's...
This is a very profound question. I'm so glad you brought that up. Process. Definition of process is something becoming something else, isn't it?
Right.
If we look at the definition, if we can somebody Google it now, like, what's the definition? What is a process? It has to involve, the word process involves change.
A series of actions or steps taken in order to achieve a particular end. That's one. Perform a series of mechanical or chemical.
Can you see the idea of time and change? That something is changing into something else in that, in those definitions. If I take these steps or do these things, this thing here will turn into something else.
Yeah.
So process in that way is never happening in the self. We could say it seems like we're all becoming more awakened here in this group. But is that really what's unfolding, or is just the appearance changing? So the wave begins and comes up to a certain point and crests and then begins to recede. We can say this to the mind, something's happening there, but really it's all water. It's just changing the way it looks. Nothing's actually happened. There's never anything such as a wave or a thing, you know. And this is hard for mind to grasp because it judges by appearance. So it says, when Belle's got the help she needs, something has happened. But really, all the things were there before, they've just changed their shape, the way they're appearing.
Right. Okay.
The analogy that helped me is if we take a big block of ice, a big oblong, human-sized block of ice, and we begin to chisel into it, we begin to make a sculpture, an ice sculpture. And by the end of this process, in inverted commas, we have this beautiful sculpture in the ice. So at what point was that manifestation finished? Was it when the artist stands back and goes, I'm done? Or has it been, is it even in this human-sized block of square ice? Sculpture's in there, isn't it? At no point the sculpture is absent. Mind says only when it looks like the finished thing has the manifestation occurred.
Yeah,
it seems like there's a process going on. But still, even when a sculpture is finished, according to the human mind, it's still just ice. It just looks different. The mind confuses change of appearance with actual change.
I can see that. That's made it clearer.
And when the appearance changes a certain way, it goes there, that's the manifestation. That's what I'm looking for. And there seems to be a process leading up to that, to things changing over time. But that's not really how it is.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
It's all the self, and we're just changing the way it appears. We take a lump of clay and we mold it into a beautiful, you know, put it on a pottery table and we spin it and we make it look into a beautiful vase, and then we paint it, and we bake it and paint it and glaze it and all of that stuff. It's still just clay, isn't it? It's not any different. It looks very different. It looks like we've changed it.
Yeah. So even I'm not asking you a question, really. I'm not kind of waiting, asking. Well, it appears to me like I'm asking a question to get a better understanding, but that's not what's really happening either, is it?
What's really happening is that just words are coming out and ears are hearing them and bodies are moving. Even that's too much to say, because bodies and words and ears are all the same thing. But you get the idea of where we're going with this, right? Mind believes in change, time, process, progress, evolution. And that's how it appears, but none of that is really going on.
Yeah, that's really helped understand that. process a bit further.
So when you get this, you're not so much looking for a particular set of outer circumstances as evidence that a manifestation has occurred.
Mm.
And then you don't feel a time pressure or I don't have it yet or all that stuff that we do.
No, that's really good actually. Makes
sense. And please don't worry anyone, everyone, if you don't get this or you get it for a second, then it seems to jump out your brain again, because this is very different to how we're taught to think, you know. It took me a while to get this where it really stayed here.
Yeah, because I know you've said that before and I've just kind of listened to it and process.
All the time you're trying to get it, you're immersed in this seeming change, aren't you? So it's kind of everything seems to keep changing and we seem to be in a process of evolution and awakening here. But the body mind's changing appearance, nothing's actually changing. Yeah. Like I had cookie dough and I have two cutters. One's in the shape of an unawakened being, one's in the shape of an awakened being. It's still cookie dough, you know, nothing really different. One's in the shape of peace, love and joy, the other's in frustration, you know, apathy, grief, same. Mm-hmm. Same basic ingredients.
Yeah. Okay, that's very good. Thank you.
Good. Hope, I mean, mull it over, and if you want to come back next time and ask more about it.
Yeah, I will do. Yeah, thank you. Definitely.
Good. So we'll take Amy and Claire, and then that'll probably be bringing us up to time for tonight. So, Amy, when are you ready?
Yeah, that was really beautiful. Thank you, Amy. It was talking about grief.
Can I just ask you to speak up a little bit, Amy? It's quite quiet.
Oh.
It's okay. I can hear. Yeah, carry on.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, no, I was just saying that was really lovely, that conversation. About grief. I just wanted to ask about one thing that's tripping me up at the moment is this indecision, and I find what's difficult with it is because it moves quite quickly, like the so I just wondered if you had any pointers on because it seems to, it's not kind of like sitting with grief or sadness or anger or something like that. It's sort of like a clump of unconscious mind movements that just I was wondering if there was any,
how is it actually showing up? Is indecision in a particular area or
it's moving forward with certain things like creativity, but there's also a very old dream that I had that kind of goes, oh no, you should be doing this, you should just be dropping all of that and you should be doing this because this is what you know, this is the most important thing. And there's just like a few stories like that that just kind of like are at odds. And so there's like,
go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, so there's confusion as to whether certain ones like gut feelings and true movements, or if it is just like, you know, sort of a distraction story. And it's kind of, you know, as I sit with it, it's getting a bit clearer, but yeah, it's still quite frustrating.
the easy way to tell, or easier way to tell, is to go by how they make you feel. So you might get the sense, I should be doing this, I want to do this, but it doesn't have any energy behind it, it doesn't have any life force behind it. It's just mind, that'd probably be mind saying, you know, trying to throw you off the trail of something. that's going to lead you, you know, to a breakthrough or to some joy or something. You know, when we were in retreat and everything came with this feeling, it just felt right. Whether that's to cry your eyes out or hug someone or whatever it was, it came with this real high life force with it, right? It came with a surge of energy. And the word inspired comes from, just derived from inspirited. So the right thing will come with this spirit energy, with this infusion of life force energy. And how we feel that in the body is kind of telling us how, like, this one is really just a distraction. This one feels okay, I could do that. This one I just have to do something. There's a lot of energy comes with it when I have this sense. The reason we get stuck is because we don't feel out the energy of stuff so much. We try to think our way through the logical decision. But your body's giving you feedback as to which one. So if you just sort of apply that to what's going on right now, is there one, you don't need to tell us what it is, but is there one course of action that feels better when you sort of feel it?
Yeah, I think that's what's tricky at the moment as well with the grieving process that I've been through, because it kind of, one of them's around music, and because we shared a lot of music, my partner and my ex-partner and I, it just gets blocked a bit by grief that comes up. So but I know that before that happened, I was so switched on by it, and it was such like a force that was coming through.
So before this happened, this was a real high energy activity for you to do. And something wants to go back to that, but can't quite get a clear signal because of heavier energies. So here's a subtle place that we hold on to separation, that I've got to only feel this out in one body and mind. I can, you know, but there's a cheat here. You can ask, excuse me, you can ask for help energetically. What does this feel like without the grief? Like, what does this feel like to another awakened being, you know? Or what's the, you know, can you basically borrow either through the darshan, or you can borrow somebody else's energy, Christ or whoever you want to, like, what would that feel like for them? Because mine says it's really just an either or that I'm stuck in. I can't get this clear guidance until I've got rid of this energy. But that is holding it in place because this lower energy is coming from the indecision in the first place. I'm blocking my joy, something I really love to do, because I'm holding on to this idea that something has really changed since, you know, and it brings me this lower energy field. So you can literally ask Christ or any awakened being, help me feel which one of these energies is, which one of these decisions is the right one. You can try it right now. Just kind of connect, close your eyes and connect with whoever you want to, and just ask, I want a clear signal. Because you are all bodies. You don't have to just do it in that body called Amy, right? Can you get a sense of what I'm saying? So it's literally, the problem here isn't really about indecision or anything. It's about the fact that we're sort of limiting, cutting ourselves off from our infinite resources again. You know, and asking for more help with that, it gets clearer. Or you could even ask, like, which one of these would Christ choose, or what would Krishna do here? Because it's not that you don't have access to that. Whatever the body's feeling in that particular moment, you might not be able to change straight away if it's low energy. But it doesn't have to stop you from getting that feedback. If you ask the question now, you know, what would Helen choose here? I don't even know what decisions you're mulling over, but you'll get a sense of some, you feel them out again, it'll feel different in that. we're never limited in the way that we think we are. We have so many resources. And these are all the little cheats that I learned along the way.
Yeah, because it's been a bit confusing, because when I go into the place that I do my artwork, it feels very welcoming, and it's been a real anchor, and it's felt good in the body when I've gone in there. But it doesn't have that kind of that real enlivening that I felt with other things, but those things haven't, you know, they, like, that art space showed up very organically and easily, and like there just seems to be a lot of like ease and flow with that side of things, but not that, you know, that edgy, it's just sort of life force energy that I felt with that other.
Yeah, so you had the joy and the flow and everything with this other being there. Now you're just, this has happened to show you that you can feel that same way by yourself. But we wouldn't have the impetus to transcend that without this experience, you know. So I can feel this way on my own. It's possible for me to feel this way. I'm seeing that I have believed that this experience was enhanced by this other person, or, you know, that we were, that our energies combined or something like that, which might feel how it is, but really the way you feel in any of your best moments is only because you're not resisting anything. You know, what the activity is that seems to help with that might be different. So going with the highest energy thing that you can do in any moment, like of any options you've got in any moment, try to choose the one that makes you feel best and climb back to your joy from that. You know, so it might not feel as alive or as passionate as it did before, but just reaching for the highest place you can, and then it will begin to increase in that. And as you climb your way back out of, eventually you could do statements as well, you know, speed it up, back out of the energy place where you can be affected by thoughts, then everything's joyful. Everything's in that place, isn't it?
So I think that's part of the problem, isn't it? It's like, it's that reaching for a future thing of like, you know, this is, instead of following that next step, it's like, this is what's got to change. Yeah.
My mind says, you know, I'll find something I can do that makes me feel better. I've got to decide what that is. And you literally can't decide from that low energy place. It's not possible. You know, because you just sort of swamped in these lower energies. So instead, it works the other way around. It's like, I'll never make a decision if I'm in a low energy place now. I always do whatever I need to do, statements or whatever, to get back up to a high energy place, which I don't dip very much at all these days, but the other way around to what we think, let me get myself into a good feeling place first, and then the right decision, the right thing will be obvious, absolutely stunningly obvious. So what can you do right now to feel better than you feel? And just putting that first, then you can really get to a point where it's clear what wants to happen.
Yeah, so raising vibration, asking from another body, tuning into how it feels.
Yeah, and anything that you can do to feel better, you can have some darshan, you can do statement process, you can dance around the kitchen, putting some of your favorite music on, you know, and then from there, try to feel out the decision process, and then you'll be so much clearer, so much clearer. We try to find the right thing to do to make us feel better from a place where we can't find that out, you know, or what life's drawing us towards.
I think there's so many old stories around some of these things have been going for while.
I wouldn't ever make a decision from a low feeling place. I'm losing the connection with you a little bit. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Does that help?
Yeah.
Lovely, lovely, lovely.
Yeah, it does. I might have to ask another 50 times for this one.
That's okay. that's totally okay. Just ask as much as you need, yeah. You know me. Okay. Thanks, Amy. Yeah. We'll go to Claire, last but not least.
I was just thinking, I've been away this weekend, so I've not been involved in the group. So I'm seeing all the statements coming through and I'm reading them through and I'm feeling the love. There's also the thought there that goes, they're leaving you behind, or you look on the outside looking in, but in some way there must be osmosis with it, because it's been pointed out to me recently in the last couple of hours that something has shifted. And I did deal with my dad a lot differently this morning than, you know, than I would have done. So I don't know what I'm really trying to say then, but I think it's more of a share.
You're getting the effect, even if you can't literally be there and do the statements.
Yeah.
You're getting the effect anyway, because of these energy connections that we're making with each other, and because of where you're lifting yourself up to. You don't even need to physically see that being or interact with them to get the benefit. This is the real teacher and student relationship at its fullest. And really, there's no teacher or student, but you know what I mean. Any being that's higher in energy vibration than someone else, once those connections are made, that's across time and space. We could be other end of the planet, other end of the universe. You'd still feel the benefit.
Yeah.
And then multiply that by however many people are in this group. And mine will say, yeah, but you haven't been there to do them. They're leaving you behind and they're all got their own issues. I don't even know what's going on because I've been out of the loop.
Yeah.
But it's not really true energetically, as you can feel. You're getting this karmic inheritance, this karmic benefit. Like once you're downloaded a few times, it's just always on. The tap's on. You can't turn it off.
Yeah.
And you feel that. Suddenly life is moving in an easier way than or you've got more power there to do things that you wouldn't be able to do before, like speaking to your dad differently, saying what you need to say.
Yeah. And it was today, like, are you not coming to see me today? Well, no, not really, I'm really tired from the week and I'm not coming. And then he rang again and he said, my screws loose in my glasses, and I just said, well, I'll have to come then, but I'm not coming for an hour because I was driving. And I spoke to somebody as well, and then it went, like, doing my own statements almost, and then 20 minutes later it rang and went, I'll mind you with my reading glasses till you come tomorrow. So it did move. It
manifested, yeah.
But yeah.
So you get, and that's when you really start to see that we're not bound by time and space. You know, even if, and anyone can do this, if you've got an issue going on and you can't even get to the group, you can just put that intention out, I'd like help from all of you, and it will come. The physical bodies might not know what's going on, but you'll get this massive impact, you know, this kind of massive benefit that becomes more and more noticeable. And you see the manifestation change like that very quickly.
Yeah.
You didn't have to go anywhere in the end. And, you know, because you were able to come from a higher place right from the start. I don't want to come today. I need a time to chill type of thing.
Yeah.
That's really good. And, you know, there'll be times we can't get on there for days, weeks, whatever, you know, but there's already enough momentum in that group to really fuel significant change for all of us. And it's like this infinite supply of it now. The more we put in, the more we're getting out, each one of us. You put so much into the group, you get like a thousand times more out of it. It just kind of mushrooms, yeah. Doesn't it? Like, yeah. That's what I'm not saying it very eloquently tonight, but you get the idea.
Get the idea.
Yeah. The mushroom cloud in a good way. Yeah. No, forget I said that. Yeah. Let's go back to the infinite cloud. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. Appreciate that. And that hopefully helps everyone that, you know, has a busy life and doesn't feel that they can get on there as much as they want to, and, you know, which is pretty much everyone except me. Yeah. So it's all, once you're open, you're getting the benefit with whatever your body's doing. You could be sleeping and still getting the benefit. You know, it could be in different continents, different universes. It'll still work. Lovely. Mm-hmm. Let me stop this.